Ordinarily, one might begin a homily by trying to pose an interesting question, to find a seeming contradiction or a conundrum that requires a solution. This evening, this initial task is done for me. There is surely no question more arresting, more demanding than the one Jesus poses to his disciples at the center of this evening's gospel. But who do you say that I am? This exchange between Christ and his disciples is one we have all heard many times, but the potency of that question ought not to be diminished by its familiarity. It ought still to strike with force. But who do you say that I am? Surely for those of us who call ourselves Christians, there is no sterner interrogation than this. The identity we profess, upon which we build our lives, is entirely intertwined with the identity of the one who asks this question. Our answer, if we stand by what we say, defines our life. This was, of course, true also for St. Peter and the disciples. For them, too, their life was defined by their response. Their identity, too, would be intertwined with the one who asked them to identify him. Yet, if we momentarily place ourselves in the shoes of St. Peter and the disciples at the moment St. Mark records this exchange, we realize their predicament is quite different to our own. Christ asked them to identify him, but what information is their response based upon? At this stage, in chapter 8 of Mark's Gospel, the disciples have witnessed a number of miracles. Christ healing the sick, restoring sight to the blind, multiplying the loaves. Christ has taught with authority and wisdom in the synagogue on the Sabbath, relating parables beside the lake, responding to the criticisms of the Pharisees. He has calmed the storm, he has walked on the water, he has rebuked unclean spirits and healed the demoniac. This is the man who now asks them to identify him. But notice what is missing from this account. He is yet to tell them of his passion and death, yet to be transfigured before three of them on Mount Tabor, yet to be crucified, died, buried, and rise again on the third day. Surely the disciples cannot truly know Jesus Christ at this particular moment. There is too much information they lack, too much still to happen. Yet Jesus still chooses this particular moment to pose that critical question. Perhaps a lack of information is irrelevant to giving the right answer. The offer Jesus Christ made to his disciples and to each of us today is one of friendship. God became man, he took on human flesh so as to invite us to share in his triune life. This is his offer of friendship. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. St. Augustine wrote that there can be no friendship at all unless there be believed something which cannot be proved by reason. To enter into a friendship means to trust what another says about themselves without being able to prove it. The friendship begins when one is willing to say, "I believe you are who you say you are." It is only once this trust has been established that the relationship can truly form. And this is what Jesus asks, to respond to his offer of friendship by believing that he is who he claims to be. Notice in the Gospel that it is only after Jesus has asked this question that he begins to teach the disciples about the most important moments of his life and his mission, his impending suffering, death, and resurrection. St. Peter's proclamation that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, is an act of faith, and it is this faith that prepares him to be taught the mysteries of salvation history. And so too it is for us. Faith opens the door to a deeper understanding. But who do you say that I am? You are Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages. I believe, so that I may understand.